Let's begin with a word of prayer. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, so thankful we are that we have thy truth in front of us, thy word of life that directs us in this way that thou wouldst have us to go, knowing that it errs not, Lord, that it is true, and Lord, that we can place our faith and our confidence in this, thy written word. And Lord, we give thee thanks for its direction in our lives, and we pray that we would draw near unto thee, that we would walk with thee, that we would please thee well. And so now as we partake of this thy word, we pray blessings upon it, for we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. For our reading this evening, let's turn to the Gospel of John and read from chapter number 15. Gospel of John, chapter number 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. I wish to conclude there with the 17th verses. Certainly thankful for prayers that are offered on behalf of the spoken word, knowing that we're relying on the Spirit to bring forth a message that would glorify our Lord and that would edify each other and that would serve to strengthen us and draw those who know not the Lord to himself. And these prayers that we offer to the Lord on behalf of the message are a blessing for us all. And so may we continue to hold each other up in prayer and that the word might go forth in power and in truth. The Lord Jesus Christ here speaks a message of us that we might be abiding in him, that we might have that connection with him. And if we look at it first from a broader perspective, that the Lord Jesus Christ had a union with the Father from before time, before things were created. The Lord was speaking to, our Lord Jesus was praying to the Father in John 17 here, a couple chapters later, and he says, Father, thou art in me and I in thee. We know that there was this connection that the Lord Jesus had with his Father, God the Father, and they were one. The one was in the other, and they had this connection. And also he says here in this chapter that, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. The Lord Jesus was with the Father before the world was. They had this communion. They had this relationship. They abode one in another. The Bible here says that. And we know that this to be true, because the scriptures are very clear on that. And so that's on the broader level. That happens first, that the Lord Jesus Christ and his Father are one. The one abides in the other. And now Jesus here is saying that we ought to abide in him. And so we look at this scripture, these 17 verses that we read together this evening, we see that Christ is making a plea and a petition to those of his followers that we might abide in him. And so we see 9 times in this reading that we've had the word abide, which means to have this a relationship with. And so as the Father and the Son have this close relationship, as they are one, the Lord Jesus is telling us that we ought to abide in him, that we ought to have that relationship as well, that we would abide in him and he in us. This is what he wants of us. This is the communion that the Lord Jesus is longing to have with us. And so he's speaking these things to us. And this is one thing that we cherish in our lives, in our spiritual lives, is this relationship that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ and with God the Father. We cherish that. We nurture that. We pray for that. We keep his word in front of us. We walk through life together, and we nurture this relationship that we have with him. And as he's saying here, abide in me and I in you. He wants to have this fellowship, this union, this relationship with us. And so we can go through life considering at all times throughout the day, from the moment we wake up, knowing that the Lord is there, to the moment we fall asleep at the end of the day, knowing that the Lord is there. Again, we're nurturing that relationship that we have with him. We're in his word. We're praying to him. We're allowing the Spirit to work in our hearts and direct us in his ways, in all things. The Lord Jesus here in this chapter says that he came to bring his Father's word to us. And by his spoken word to us, we become clean. He says that here in verse number 3, that ye are clean through the word that I have spoken unto you. And also through the word that he has spoken unto us, in verse number 11, it says that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. So through the spoken word of Jesus Christ that has come from God the Father, he wants us to be cleansed from our sin, cleansed from all unrighteousness, that we might be able to abide with him, and that our joy might abide with us throughout all circumstances, and that it might be full, that it might be a full joy. And this is what the Lord Jesus Christ is calling us to. He's saying, abide in me and I in you. I'm giving you my word, the word that the Father hath given me to speak. And so he's asking us that we have this relationship with him, and that we nourish this relationship, and that we remain in him. And as we do so, he says, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. This is what happens as a result of our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, that we bear much fruit. And he says here clearly in this chapter that without him, we can do nothing. But if we abide in the vine of Jesus Christ, we can bear fruit. And he wants us to bear much fruit. And as we bear fruit in this relationship that we have with the Lord, God the Father is glorified. And ultimately, all of God's creation glorifies him. But he has given us a choice. Whether we will glorify him, whether we will bear fruit, whether we will abide in Jesus Christ. And so we are called to this, that we are to abide in him, to have this relationship with him and nurture it and protect it and feed it and let it grow. In verse number 15, Jesus Christ here says, "Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you." So he's elevating our relationship from a Lord-servant relationship to a friend relationship. This is a blessing that we practice even in our denomination of having friends of the Lord that as they are ready now to be baptized. And so Jesus here is giving us this special relationship that he's calling us friends. He's not calling us his servants, though we do his bidding, but he's calling us his friends. He's making us his equals. And that's quite a humbling thought to meditate upon, that Jesus would do these things for us. But we are to abide in him. He says, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing." If we abide in him, we can bring forth much fruit. We can honor him. We can glorify him. And our lives then are blessed. We are rich because we serve the Lord and because we know him. And he has been good to us, and we know of his goodness. We are to draw near to God, just as Jesus wants us to abide in the vine, and as he is one with the Father, God abiding in him and he in God, he wants us to draw near unto God. The Psalms say, "I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved." This is abiding in the Lord. This is having that relationship with God that he wants us to have. He created us. He desires to have fellowship with us. He desires for us to have that relationship with him. This is a longing of the Lord. And he wants to show us of his glory. And so the psalmist is saying, "I have set the Lord always before me. He's at my right hand. And because he's at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Difficult things may come, but I will not be moved because I have set the Lord before me. I have this relationship with him. I know him, who he is. He is a God that speaks truth. God is truth. God is light. God is love. And God is faithful." These things that the Bible says that speak of himself. This is who God is. And so because of who he is, because he is love, because he is faithful, because he is light, because he is true, we set him before us. And because he's at our right-hand side, we will not be moved. And we go through life this way. And we rejoice in this that God has done for us. "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart." That's who God dwells close to. Those who are of a broken heart. Those who are meek, those who are poor in spirit. This is who God resides with. This is who there is a connection and a relationship with that the Lord has. The Lord does not have a relationship with those who are proud. Jeremiah speaks of the Lord speaks and says, let not a man glory in his wisdom or in his might or in his riches. Let him not glory in those things, but let a man that glorieth glory in this, that he knows me, a God who delights and exercises in loving kindnesses, in judgment, and in righteousness. Because God says, "For in these things I delight." And so we would rejoice and glory in this, that we know God to be as such. We know him. We have this relationship, and we see his loving kindnesses toward us. We've experienced that. We've experienced that God is just, and he will bring judgment when there is evil. God is righteous. This is who God is. He is. The Bible speaks of other things that he is. And we know him to be these things, and therefore we delight in him, and we set him in front of us and at our right-hand side, and we are not moved. that he is a God of all people, of the living. He is a God of the living. He's not a God of the dead. He's a God of the living. This is who we have a relationship with. He is a God of glory. He is a God of consolation. He is a God of patience. He's a God of love. He's a God of peace, the Bible says. The Bible says that he is a God of all grace. The God of all grace. That's the loving kindness that we have experienced from him. When we didn't deserve it, he showed unto us his loving kindness. He is a God of all grace. And he is a God of his people. That those who believe in him, those who nurture this relationship that they have with the Lord, know that God is with them. And he's this God of all grace. And this God is not ashamed to call us his sons and his daughters. As we yield ourselves to him, as we live for him, as we do his will. And so Jesus Christ is speaking that here in this chapter, that there's a bunch of there's quite a few conditional statements here that begin with if. Verse number 10 says, "If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love." This is a beautiful opportunity that God has given unto mankind, that we can abide in the love of Christ. This love that came down from heaven, this love that died upon a cross for us. This love that gave us life. And so he says, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Just as he said, Father, thou art in me and I in thee. He kept his Father's commandments and he abides in his Father's love. And then in the same measure, we can abide in the love of Jesus Christ if we keep his commandments, if we are true to him. And he wants us to be. And he gives us grace, too, to do so, because he is the God of all grace. And his loving kindness has been shown unto us. And so, keeping the commandments of Jesus Christ. Verse number 12 says, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you." Verse number 17 says, "These things I command you, that ye love one another." The Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father have a relationship. One in the other. They are one. Jesus Christ is asking us to have a relationship with him, saying for us to abide in him. To abide in him. And he says, and you can abide in me when you keep my commandments. And this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. And so this is the way that it has been laid out for us. Again, relationships. The Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father. Us and the Lord Jesus Christ. Us and God the Father. Us and one another. These are all about relationships. And he wants us to abide in the vine. And as we abide in the vine, we are clusters together. We are the body of Christ. And so as we love one another, We nurture these relationships that we have. And we get to know one another very well. We get to know what our likes and our dislikes are. We know each other's mannerisms. We have an appreciation for some of the things that one another might be going through. We have also rejoice with others who are going through something very good. And so this is the relationship that Jesus Christ wants us to have, one with another. And he's saying, love one another as I have loved you. One of the attributes of love is kindness. 1 Corinthians 13 says that charity is kind. Love is kind. And so the Bible instructs us that, therefore, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. This is the relationship that he wants us to have, one with another. One of kindness. This is an attribute of love. Jesus Christ says, love one another. Love is kind. And so, and it's a fruit of the Spirit. And when we show one another this kindness, God the Father is glorified. We read that in verse number 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. And we can glorify God by when we show that kindness that the Lord has shown unto us with one another. Angry words don't bear fruit, but kindness does. Kindness can be very meaningful. Kindness can make a big difference. And that's what the Lord is calling us to. That we would show that attribute of love by being kind one to another. Another attribute of love is patience. Jesus says, in your patience possess ye your souls. We can nurture this love within us by just simply waiting on the Lord and trusting in him. Proverbs says that better is the patient in spirit than the proud in spirit. The proud in the spirit will not wait or not humble themselves, but the patient in spirit will. They will wait on the Lord. And again, this is another fruit of the Spirit, long-suffering, having this patience and waiting on the Lord and trusting in him and committing all things unto him and glorifying him for the things that he has done. When the difficult things of life come about, this is when we are to exercise these attributes of love. It's easy to show kindness, it's easy to show patience and long-suffering when things are all going very well. But when somebody says something or does something that we don't quite agree with, and that's not right, that's when the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to love one another. That is when he wants us to show kindness. That is when he wants us to show patience. Patience will take us much farther than exercising our carnality. The Lord is calling us to these things. And so he's saying here, these things I command you, that ye love one another. So again, if we think about it from a high level and work it down, we see that God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ have a relationship. One is in the other. And Jesus here is saying to abide in me, to us to have a relationship with him. And God is saying the same, that he would be our Father and that we would be his sons and his daughters, and that we would have love one toward another. And then love is kindness and love is patience. So that's the way it works down. Now we can work it back up. We can say, well, if I want to abide in Christ, if I want to be with God the Father, then I need to exercise, by the power of the Spirit, patience in my life. I need to exercise kindness in my life. I need to bear that fruit in my life. I need to show forth the fruit of joy and peace, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. To show forth these things in my life. And when I have that relationship with the Lord, he will direct me in these things. He will direct me in these ways. And my life will be full, and my life will be rich. And I will have this joy that he has spoken of here, and that my joy might be full. And that I would be cleansed from all sin and all unrighteousness. And that I would know him. When I exercise these things by the power of his Spirit and by his grace, because the God of all grace gives us this grace to do these things and to be yielded unto him. So this is what the Lord is calling us to abide in him. Because without him, we can do nothing. Not that we can do a little, but that we can do nothing if we are outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he's calling us to these things, that we would bear much fruit and that we might be his disciples. And so he says here again, verse number 10, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. This is what the Lord is calling us to. This is how we can nurture this relationship that we have with the Lord, being found faithful to him, glorifying him in everything that we do. There were those listed in the Bible who did glorify the Lord in their walk with him. The Bible says that Noah walked with the Lord, and Noah glorified the Lord. Noah walked with him. They had that relationship together. The Bible says that Enoch walked with the Lord. They had that relationship. They were together. The Apostle Paul served the Lord Jesus Christ and gave of himself, was spent for his for the glory and for the furtherance of the gospel. And so through this scripture, we can be encouraged to simply nurture this relationship that we have with the Lord. Count it a precious thing in our lives that we want the Lord to ever be before us. We want the Lord to be on our right-hand side. And when he is, we will not be moved. We will not be moved. So may he bless his word upon our hearts in this evening. Amen.
Jesus is describing the relationship between him and his disciples as a vine and his branches. And we can make a mental picture of what that looks like and what that means. With the vine growing up from the ground in the center, maybe splitting off in a few places, the branches coming off the right location so that the leaves can spread out and gather the sun and the fruit growing on them. The vine is in the center. The vine holds everything together. When we think of this picture, it doesn't occur to us that a branch would pluck itself off and go somewhere else to get its nourishment. But as people, we have that temptation to get a little satisfaction here, a little pleasure there, a little motivation from this or that. But Jesus is telling his disciples, the way that I want you to relate to me is for you to abide, to remain, to be close, to be blended, such that you share that nature, and that you go to no other source and look to no other person, place, or thing to satisfy your need. To not abide in the vine leaves us with very little. Jesus says that when we do not abide in the vine, says the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. There is a general ignorance about what God is doing and what his will is. There is a lack of fruit, and it ends with being cast away. But on the other hand, the central idea of abiding in Jesus Christ, there are many blessings and many things that we are called to. We're offered purging, cleansing, fruit bearing, answered prayers, the love of God, obedience to God's commandments, a fullness of joy, a fellowship with other believers that is expressed by love that serves and sacrifices in its expression. A relationship with God. But all of it comes from this central truth. abide in me. And that was our prayer as we concluded, that we would abide. May we continue to ponder what that means to you, to me. How that manifests itself. Maybe we can use these blessings and these callings that Jesus says are consistent with abiding in the vine as a checklist of our spiritual health and as evidence of the reality of our relationship with the Lord. May God bless his word. Amen.